welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely tremendous day today. Hope you guys had a safe night. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm absolutely blessed. And you know, it's so funny. People say, well, first part of your show always sounds the same. It does, doesn't it? Because I'm blessed. You know, I try to keep you guys, you know, upbeat. You know, because, I mean, this is some negative stuff we have to cover every day. And so I've got to understand in my own mind that this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad. And, hey, let me tell you this, guys. You're not 6 feet under. You're not pushing up daisies right now. I mean, you're still listening to the show. You're still living your life. You're still hugging your kids and your grandkids right now. Maybe not your teenagers so much, but you're still hugging your grandkids. And you have to understand, guys, that, you know, it's just part of life. You know, we've got a continual group of challenges that come our way. I don't call them problems or adversities or whatever. I just call them challenges, something that can be solved. And what we have to do, though, we have to solve things based upon facts, not upon what we think it may be. Now, what does that mean? You can't deceive yourself. I've got a friend of mine. He's a national talk show host. And I'm not putting any names on it because I know a bunch of talk show hosts. So don't think it's somebody that, you know, you hear me talk about on a regular basis. But it's a national talk show host, and he called me the other day, and he said, well, I've got something confidential to tell you. And I'm like, okay. He goes, I've got an insider in the White House. I'm like, okay. He goes, let me tell you what's really going on. And I'm like, okay, I'm all ears. And he goes, you can't divulge your source. And I'm like, okay, I won't divulge my source. And he goes, the reason we're on lockdown is that China is doing all of this to us. I'm like, China? He goes, yeah. He goes, Trump knows, and they've threatened him that they have 30 different strains of coronavirus, and they're going to unleash them if he opens up the economy. He doesn't do what they want. And I said to this person, I said, you don't believe this, do you? Oh, yeah. I've got an insider in the White House. He's always right. I'm like, I thought to myself, no, he's not. I had another pastor friend of mine, national pastor friend of mine. You guys know him. I mentioned his name. I'm not going to mention any names. And he told me the same thing. I've got an insider in the White House. And my response was, okay. He goes, Trump's for real. He's Q. He's this. And I said, whoa, stop. Gosh. I said, you have a person in the White House who's designed to handle the media and clergy, and they tell you what they're told to tell you. They don't have any inside information. This is a group of people they've assigned to the media and to the clergy and to pastors, and they give them this information that they want disseminated. I said, the problem, you as a pastor, you then disseminate it thinking it's all true. I didn't say this to my radio show personality friend the other day. And they all looked at me kind of funny. You know, they're all looking at me kind of funny. I'm like, you just don't understand. You don't get it. I'm like, get what? That we're under lockdown? I mean, Kevin Sorbo had a meme that he put out. And basically Trump's son put it out today. And, you know, and quite frankly, you know, Kevin Sorbo was the guy who played Hercules. And also that one movie that came out a few years ago that's really good, God Is Not Dead. That's a great movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. He stars as the bad guy in that. And remember yesterday I told you that lady in the park took her child to this park rally, and they were playing in the park to protest they had closed the park. The police said, you must disperse, peasant! You must lick the boot, peasant! And, of course, I'm sure they didn't say that, but that's how they act. And she goes, no, I'm not going to leave. And they go, we're going to arrest you, peasant! And they arrested her in front of her children. If she had to leave her children with someone else, if she was taken away in handcuffs. Now, I don't know if she was crying or screaming or kicking and flailing. I don't know. But I got to give the lady credit. She's got some testosterone. You know, she's carrying a set, I guess. I'm not going to go any further than that. You figure out what I meant by that. And, you know, and now she's putting protests together in her hometown and on TV and on radio. And she says, I will have another meeting in the park, and we will do this again. They will arrest me again. She goes, I don't care. They can't lock us up like this. Unlike other pastors who've been arrested who quickly go into sheepish mode and say, oh, no, I can't do that anymore. Can't do that anymore. No. If you're going to fall on the sword, don't pull yourself off the sword. Just stay there and work it until you get off of it and get what you want. That's how you have to do with protests. But don't fall on the sword. My whole thing with the sword is forced vaccines. That's the one thing that I will simply not tolerate. I'm not gonna have me and my family vaccinated by gunpoint. You know, by somebody getting strapped. That's not gonna happen. No, I'm gonna resist every fiber of my body. I'll resist. But the crazy part about it is, Kevin Sorbo said, this is what he said: when the state puts you in jail for walking in a park with your child because it's too dangerous, but lets criminals out of jail, it's not about your health. I'm going to repeat that. When the state puts you in jail for walking in a park with your child because it's too dangerous but lets criminals out of jail, it's not about your health. Guys, this ain't about your health. You know, whatever Trump once was, whatever he once could have been, he's an agent of the deep state now. For various reasons, I have no idea why. I can speculate until the moon's come home. I can say they're threatening his children. They're threatening his grandchildren. Well, here's the deal with that. Now, let me just walk you through this. Let's say I ran for president, okay? Let's say Ted Brewer got elected president. Let's say Ted Brewer told these guys to pound salt. Said, you know, kiss off Rothschild banking cartel. We're dumping you. We're getting all of your compromised cronies out of governmental office. We're getting the communists out. I've had enough of you guys. All you weird cabalists, hit the road, Jack. Don't look back. I'm done with you. You want to go on some island, you can just hang out with your snake buddy. I don't care what you do, but I'm had it with you guys. I'm done. Now, what I would know going into that I would have to have my family sequestered. Now, are you listening to me? In other words, I'd have to make sure that Austin and the kids and the wives and everybody else and the children, in-laws, everybody that I cared about going into this would know that they're going to have to be kept basically not even – I guess you'd almost have to say house arrest. Not because you're being mean to them, but you're going to protect them. You put guards around them. Okay? This is where it goes when you go to the presidency of the United States. This is what you have to do. They have to be sequestered. Because otherwise people are going to use those people against you in order to get what they want. Now, obviously Trump has a lot more baggage in his past with Wilbur Ross and all the rest of these guys and the Rothschild Inc. bailing him out and it goes on and on and on and on, along with his whores, his porn, you know, his whatever. I mean, the guy is just—he's so just absolutely nasty. Now, has he accepted Christ? I have no idea. Is he? Some people say he's converted to Judaism. I have no idea. Some people say he's a Kabbalist. I have no idea. I'm just saying what I hear. I don't know what he. I don't know what the guy is. I don't know what the motives of his heart really are. I don't know what they are. All I know is that he's not doing what he said he was going to do. There ain't been no drain in no swamp. Let me put it that way. It's worse now with more CFR members, Council on Foreign Relations members, which is an offshoot of what happened with the League of Nations, which is an offshoot of what happened with World War I, which is an offshoot of the banking cartel of the Rothschilds. There are more CFR members in power in Washington now under his administration than there's ever been. You know, so either he's ultimately naive or stupid, I guess I could say that too. They're trying to tell us how brilliant he is. I mean, he's good at insulting people. And, you know, guys, I know people like that. You know, and I hate to say this about him, but I know people like that. They're like 12-year-old schoolyard bullies. And every time you say something, they want to insult you. And, you know, and you try to walk in love with them, and you say, well, please don't insult me. And the only thing they really understand, especially these New Yorker types, is to insult them back. And this is what he did on all the debates. You know, he never really brought up the issues very much. He just insulted people. Little Jeb Bush, little Mikey, little, because he's 6'3", I guess, or whatever he is, you know, he's calling everybody little. Little this, little that. Like there's some kind of circus clown show and there's some little dwarf walking around. You got the dwarfs on the stage with me. Let me make fun of the dwarfs. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, this is how he thinks. So does that mean he's a genius? I don't think so. I think he's hanging out with that Roy Cohn too much. And, you know, that, remember that gay guy that was his best friend for years and years and years. I mean, you know, notice he never jokes about the gay stuff. Never jokes about that. But he's always putting everybody down. If he can't get his own way, he's like that schoolyard bully who basically wants to talk mean to people. And I've learned, and Austin's, I talk about this to Austin because I've got a person that I know right now and I'm trying to, you know, be, he's like a professional that I'm having to work with. And I told him, I said the other day, I said, dude, I said, I'm about to start dropping my hammer on you. I said, you need to cut out the sarcasm and the smart aleck stuff. I said, you know, we're supposed to be two professionals here. You need to stop this. And Austin said to me the other day, he said, well, Dad, the only thing these people understand is that you've got to come back harder at them than they're coming at you. And see, that's not what we're trained as Christians to do. We're not trained. We're supposed to walk in love and be nice to people. But when people are just downright mean like Trump is to everybody, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I'm not saying that he has to be, you know, a wimp, because that's not what I'm talking about here. But I'm talking about just going out and overtly insulting people all of the time. Now, Chuck Baldwin came out with a column yesterday. I'm going to read you part of it. I'm going to paraphrase it because I like Chuck. He's been on the show many times. He can't do the show anymore because of time constraints as far as being first thing in the morning out there in Montana since we changed the time. But it says, the corona endgame, forced vaccinations and total control and surveillance. Anyone who has bought into the hype that all of these government lockdowns, a ruined economy, a suppression of our liberties, and a total disruption of our way of life for the purpose of saving lives has drunk some serious Kool-Aid. We're supposed to believe in the same people who are enthusiastically promoting the killing of over 60 million unborn babies without so much as a minimum of consciousness, are somehow crying crocodile tears of compassion because people, including babies, might die from a flu-like virus. This is nonsense. We got to realize that Secretary of State Pompeo admitted that the corona scare was a government exercise. Remember, I warned you guys about that a month ago, that this could be a giant beta test to see what they needed to do to put the country into lockdown. And now Chuck's saying the same thing. You know, he said it's a run-through for something bigger. Is it an exercise for total government control over our lives? Which, of course, has been the big agenda that they've had for years and years and years to push us all into serfdom. And, you know, this plan would not have worked had Donald Trump not been in the White House. Why? This plan is totally dependent on evangelical pastors and churches going along with it. They would not have done this had a liberal Democrat been in the White House. What? Yeah, commanding churches to cancel their services, no communions, no baptisms, no Easter service, a total shutdown of houses of worship nationwide. Hillary Clinton, if she'd done this, they'd have run around on rails. It never would have happened. But, you know, Christians would have protested in the streets, and they would have defiantly continued their public service in mass as far as being in church. But because Donald Trump issued the declaration, who has his evangelical council who meets with him in the White House, who basically gives the clergy response team continued propaganda so they'll think it's all about the 30 viruses the Chinese have developed. I'm adding that. Everybody just goes along with it. The entire, almost the entire evangelical world has bowed the knee to the state without a whimper because of Donald Trump. The rest is easy. Restaurant closures, business closures, spa closures, school closures, travel restrictions, rationed medical care, and empty hospitals. Once the evangelicals had been neutralized, there was no resistance to Trump. Wait a minute. Now, why is that? Think for a second. The left is the Rothschild communist left. The right is the conservative Christian right. The left wants a one world government. They want more governmental centralized control. They want communism. That's what we're getting right now. The right didn't want that. The Christians didn't want that. But once he neutralized them, now there's no resistance. Now everybody's going along with governmental control. Even the so-called patriot leaders, such as Oath Keepers founder and President Stuart Rhodes, joined the chorus of big government shills calling for government lockdown of our lives. Rhodes' open letter to governors could have easily been written by big pharma fascist Anthony Fauci. And by the way, he now says that he has resigned his position as a national chaplain of Oath Keepers, Chuck did. And speaking of Fauci, this little tyrant, along with Mr. Global Government himself, Bill Gates, have petitioned themselves to make billions of dollars in profits from government-mandated forced vaccinations, which they are both screaming for, and make no mistake about it. Fauci knows exactly what he's doing. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which we report on all the time, the son of the former U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and nephew of former President John F. Kennedy and chairman of the Children's Health Defense, wrote, "Vaccines for Bill Gates are a strategic philanthropy that feeds his many vaccine-related businesses, including Microsoft's ambition to control a global vaccination ID enterprise and give him dictatorial control of the global health policy. Gates' obsession with vaccines seems to be funded by a conviction to save the world with technology." Wow. So Chuck is really tattooing this stuff and really, really nailing it. And he goes on to say there's approximately 1,200 suffer severe side effects, including autoimmune and fertility disorders from the different tests that are being done that were done in India to what happened with Bill Gates before they ran him out of India. So there you have it. That's the end game, to put us all into a lockdown with vaccinations and into a feudal system, kind of like the Hunger Games. You know, I mean, this is just unbelievable, because Austin and I have talked about this so many times off air. We've talked about it so many times on air about what they're doing and where they're pushing us and how they want to push us back into that system with the Hunger Games. And, you know, it's crazy, because you start getting all these memes coming to you all the time, and everybody's, you know, that's why they're trying to outlaw memes, because they say so much. I mean, why would they not want people to have memes? Well, they don't want people to have memes because if you have memes, you know, people finally start to realize that, you know, you can make fun of this stuff and you can actually look at what's going on and you can basically, you know, start realizing that you don't have to go along with the narrative. It's so, so important that you understand that. So here's the thing. If we all understand what's going on and we're looking at it, why in the world are people not getting it? Well, here's why. Because the God of this world, the God of this age, has blinded the hearts and the minds of the believers so they should not know and believe the truth. And that's where we find ourselves. We're in a situation where we really don't know what to do. We really don't know where to go, because we're finding ourselves in a situation where we've never been before. And so we're kind of sitting here going, no, you know, we don't want to live like this. We don't want to go there. And see, do you really want to end up in a Hunger Games scenario? Well, apparently these guys really want us in a Hunger Games scenario. And sadly, many Christians, because of this blind allegiance to Donald Trump and not questioning the narrative, fell into the same trap they fell into with George W. Bush. And they are walking in lockstep. I'm talking lockstep. I'm talking they're walking in unison in a parade right off the edge of the cliff, wondering how in the world they got there, not even thinking about the fact that they're falling and going to their own death. Guys, we've got to question the narrative. Donald Trump works for us. He's our employee. If the employees don't do what they're supposed to do, you got to let them know. You got to have a meeting with them and say, this isn't okay. You can't agree with them. If you have an employee that you know is going to run your company into the ground because you've kept them around and they're running, they've got a bad attitude, they're spreading disgust and division among your employees, you got to get rid of them. Why in the world can't Christians wake up and say, wait a minute, Donald Trump, this isn't okay? Why are you not dealing with this lady who had her child in the park and she was arrested? Why haven't you already issued a pardon for her? I mean, like the same day, and flown over there and done a rally and say, no, we're not doing this. Where's that Donald Trump? I have no idea. I don't even know if that Donald Trump ever exists, to be honest with you. What do you think, Austin?
Well, it was very interesting. I mean, no doubt about it. You're accurate. And one thing I want to address with the Chinese issue that's going on right now, let me clarify something. There's no doubt about it that the Chinese, the communist Chinese government, let me clarify that real clear. I'm not talking about all the Chinese population, because a lot of them over there are in the same pickle we're in. The Chinese communist government and their Fed Bank, they want to control the United States. They want to own huge swaths of the United States. They want to have a communist dictatorship in the United States. There is no debate about that whatsoever. I believe that's fact. However, to come up with a narrative that we think the United States government is going to capitulate to China over the threat of a bioweapon is complete and total nonsense. That is an act of bioterror. If that narrative was even remotely true, we would already be at a full-blown ground assault with China, and an air assault, and probably a nuclear assault with China. To tell a country that their economic engine has to continually stop and cannot reopen, or they're going to release bioweapons in that country, is a full-blown act of war. Just clarify that. And if you believe for one second, with the might and weaponry and size of the United States military and how much we love to invade other countries, that we would sit here knowingly and allow the entire country to go to crap and shut down the entire economic engine because we're scared that China is going to release a bioweapon is one of the most far-fetched ideas I've ever heard in my life. And people argue and they say, well, you know, the Fed knows what's going on, so they're trying to do the best they can to stabilize it. No, guys. They know the Chinese want the country. The Fed also wants the Chinese country and the Chinese model and the social credit score model to be implemented in the United States. The easiest way to do so is to completely and totally make the entire population of the United States submissive, to sit here, stay at home, don't go outside, and continually and totally shut down the country. If we were actually in fear of a bioterror weapon being released from China as an act of war, we wouldn't have law enforcement running around arresting people for going to the parks. We would have memos sent out to every single local law enforcement and sheriff department and say, be ready, we are probably about to have a full-blown ground invasion from China if we do not do one first. They are imminently about to attack this country. That's what would be happening, guys. So best believe the narrative of, oh, China's got America on its knees because they got a bioweapon. Oh, we better just stay here. We'll keep the economy shut down. We'll just hunt in place. You know, we don't know what to do. We're so scared. Guys, the weaponry we have is far beyond what any other country has. The space-based weapons platforms are far beyond what anything we've ever seen. We already know the technology that exists. So to sit there and say we're going to huddle down and shut down the entire country and completely and totally put us into economic turmoil for probably the next decade because we're scared of China and their bioweapon is complete and total nonsense. Please, use your minds, use your brains, use your wisdom, use your God-given intelligence that we were blessed with. Brilliant people. The country's so smart. The work ethic here. That's why, I mean, there's so many people that are figuring ways to continue to make money, to keep working. That's like I said, down here in Central Florida, I mean, in Polk County, the amount of restrictions have been minimal at best. And look, we have had like 300 cases in 2 months. And I don't even believe most of those cases have been hospitalizations. Almost all of them are like a positive test and somebody goes home and they recover. Why? Because we're a pretty healthy, safe county. We use wisdom. We also very strong. We like to work, and people aren't shuttering around. Traffic shut down some. A lot of businesses are still open. I mean, you go to Lowe's, they're packed. Everybody's working. Everybody's doing stuff. Construction business is still wide open. I'm dealing with all my subs right now. They're super busy. Everybody's got stuff going on. Everybody's trying to make money. One thing that we know down here in Central Florida is that, A, the government does not care about us, and B, the government does not come to help us. We learn that real quick in every single storm. So pretty much we've got the understanding that, for the most part, everything the government says, majority of it, is either twisted, manipulated, or lies, and B, they do not have our health or our best interest in mind. As you can see, as the dad wrote in that comment, that quote, if the government was actually considerate and they're actually concerned about our health, they wouldn't be letting out hundreds if not thousands of known felon criminals. I brought to you guys the story that happened in Tampa last week where the 23-year-old individual with a rap sheet, I think of over 23 charges, previous charges, pretty much been a felon since he was 17 years old, was released out of jail along with another 123 criminals out of Hillsborough County in Tampa. Within 24 hours of his release, which, by the way, his current charge was felony heroin possession and I think distribution, was released with numerous aggravated battery, firearm charges, the whole works since 17 years old, was released. Within 24 hours, he was charged with second-degree murder for killing somebody in a neighborhood. In 24 hours. But we're supposed to sit here and believe that the government has our best interests and they're doing this to help us? And as Dad said, as much as I've continually liked Trump, and I voted for Trump, and a lot of stuff he's done has been great, and a lot of stuff he said at the beginning was fantastic. He got everybody riled up. I mean, lock her up. I mean, how much more do we need to hear than that? I mean, lock Hillary Clinton up, the butcher Benghazi? You got my vote. You're going to arrest Hillary Clinton, one of the most known criminal political figures in modern U.S. history. there's no argument there. You're going to put her in jail. You're going to indict her. I'm 100% in support of you. Problems didn't happen. What we have seen now is, and I'm just going to really clarify this, is Trump's persona is meant to be a ambiguous, like a chameleon lizard, like a back and forth. Because what it does is it presents something,
exactly,
good or bad, to all people. You have the left, which he's the far left fascist Nazi, you know, the big bad boogeyman president. We have to impeach him. That's what their narrative is. And then on the right, he's the savior. He's the Q. He's the one who's playing four-dimensional chess. He's the one who's fighting this secret war against the deep state. And you have this back-and-forth pendulum, so you keep the narrative going. The problem is, what we're realizing again is what we've clearly seen now, and if you haven't seen this, then you haven't opened your eyes. Abby, he's flip-flopped more times than a pancake on a Skittle. This is what's going on right now. I mean, it's flip one side, flip the other side, flip one side, flip the other side, flip one side, flip the other side. It's whatever they tell him to do along with the narrative. For instance, I haven't heard him condemn or, you know, basically talk about the FBI raiding the Shelby Township Medical Spa that they did on Thursday, first thing in the morning. A lot of people didn't even hear about that. Of course, they went in there. There's multiple spas all around the country. They have them in Michigan. This is where the main one was. Them in Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, even down here in Florida. Well, FBI raided them. You know why? Because they said the spa was allegedly offering intravenous vitamin C injections for people that were having viral problems. Ah, there you go. There you go. If you can't control the narrative, then you have to physically go in with the FBI body armor raid and raid a spa that's doing intravenous vitamin C because, oh, you couldn't possibly let the population know the truth of vitamin C. You couldn't possibly talk about the vitamin C research that's been done on your Twitter, Mr. President Donald Trump. You couldn't possibly bring that up. You put things up there like fire Fauci, then the next day turn around and completely retract the statement. Okay? Why haven't you brought up one single peer-reviewed research study on vitamin C intravenous? It didn't have to be for coronavirus. You used vitamin C for decades. But again, that doesn't go along with the narrative. So now we're having the FBI raiding offices, because they're allegedly providing... Oh, let me... I'll quote. This is a quote from FBI. I'm going to quote this, because I want you guys to understand exactly what they're doing. And I quote, "The investigation includes allegations that the clinic provided fraudulent treatments for COVID-19 and that the clinic did not observe proper protocols to protect patients from the virus," end quote, said FBI spokesperson Mary Schneider. And when brought up what they are talking about, fraudulent treatment for COVID-19, oh, it would be the one and only intravenous vitamin C, which we have seen repeatedly knock out viruses, not just coronaviruses, all types of viruses for decades. That's why we bring it up on the show all the time. Intravenous vitamin C, if that's not available, high micro doses of oral vitamin C throughout the entire day also can yield great results to help the immune system and fight off certain viruses. I'm not making claims about COVID-19 at all. I'm just telling you the research that I have read from peer-reviewed journals and doctors and researchers. This is all on our website. I've talked about it for months. Dad and I brought this up in January. The first thing, as soon as it happened in Wuhan, the first thing him and I both said to do is, listen, we don't know what's going on over there. We both told you that. We don't know what's going on in China. We don't know if we're being lied to. We don't know if this thing's a complete hoax. We don't know if this thing's worse than they're saying it is. We don't know if this is a bioweapon. We don't know if somebody ate a bat. All we know is that vitamin C is crucial right now, and vitamin D is crucial right now. And I truly believe that a large percentage of the populace that has listened to us, or at least listened to even anybody else that said the exact same thing that has their head on, has massively prevented this thing from spreading the way they wanted it to. So they've had to go in now and massively manipulate the numbers. And I'm not saying that people haven't died from virus. I'm not saying that at all. I believe it is a real virus. I'm not saying people haven't gotten deathly ill from this virus. But what I'm saying is, I think a lot of people have been able to maintain a healthy immune system with the proper supplements. you guys fill in the blanks there with that. That's just a my opinion, but a lot of people have maintained a really healthy immune system with really high-quality supplements, and that's all we've encouraged everybody to do, and we still continue to do. Because why? A strong, alert, healthy populace is very difficult to control and dictate over, and they know that. That's why they came out with that bogus study saying chloroquine doesn't even work in people that have real bad cases of COVID-19. And I broke that down to you guys yesterday and told you how skewed that research was. That's why they're busting spas that do intravenous vitamin C. That's why Twitter and Facebook have now done full-blown retractions and removing things and calling them fake news if people discuss anything about alternative options for COVID-19. That's why they're banning videos talking about 5G. Why? Because they know, regardless of what you want to believe, regardless of all the research out there, one thing that is pretty much clear, and we know this, the frequency, the radiation frequency that you get from 5G or 4G or cell phones or any of that encompassed is not healthy to the human body. Now, you can twist it and you can take other research. You can say, well, this says it's safe. No, it's not. Microwave energy is not safe to be in the body. It's not healthy. Now, does it completely kill you? No, not necessarily, unless it's really, really bad. Does it compromise your immune system? You better believe it does. Anything that disrupts the cells is going to compromise the immune system. May only be a small amount, maybe a large amount, but it has a negative impact. So understand, they don't want you to talk about that. They don't want people taking vitamin C. They don't want people taking D3. That's why the media and Donald Trump and Donald Jr. and majority of everybody in the entire political field have refused to even bring those topics up or address them whatsoever. And that, guys, is the travesty that we're seeing right now. And that also is the clear-cut indicator that the government does not care one single bit about your health or saving lives. It's simply there to push their agenda, and that's my opinion on that, Dan.
Awesome. That was excellent. You know, you're right. You know, Donald Trump should be doing rallies. He should be going to these places and saying, no, 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 we're not doing that. And just have a spontaneous news conference. Just go over there and go to the steps of that city or wherever it happened. He's got a doggone 747 jet at his disposal. He hop on the plane to go anywhere he wants to go. Say, no, you're not doing this. I'm signing pardons right here in front of everybody for these people that didn't listen to the police. And if you arrest them again, I'll pardon them again. Stop it. That's all he's got to do. But he doesn't. He basically continues to do what he's being told to do. Because remember, Donald Trump is kind of like a puppet on a string. They go, no, he's not the president of the United States. No, I wouldn't say that he's really got much power left at all because of what the deep state has done and the CIA has done and all the other people have done. I'm going to say it this way. Maybe it's a little more clear this way. Donald Trump's kind of like a puppet on a string. Okay, he just does what they tell him to do. He doesn't have a backbone in him. I mean, you know, like I said, he's that bully. He's that bully that's picking on somebody. And you walk up to the bully and you say, you need to stop picking on that person. You know, why do you think I got blah, blah, blah? Well, then you explain to the bully in a way the bully understands that basically that's not what he does. And the bully doesn't pick on the person anymore. He stops. You got to stand up to bullies. And that's what Donald Trump is. He's using his bully pulpit from the White House as president of the United States to pick on people and not to defend the weak and the helpless. Isn't that what his responsibility is to the people of the United States? And that includes the weak and the helpless, not just the people who give him campaign contributions or the people that run the international banks. Isn't it supposed to be for we, the people of the United States? Aren't we the ones that put him in the office? The problem is we've got this skewed thing now. We've got this fascist, communist / oligarchy of giant corporations that run the world that are primarily linked to organized crime, slinging dope out of Afghanistan, laundering money, and manipulating people with interest. You know, it's funny. You know, the Ruth Chris Steakhouse, you know, they took a big bailout from the government. They decided they were going to get a big bailout. And they've come back in now saying they're paying all of the loans back. They're not taking the bailout. They're giving everything back. And you say, well, why would they do that? Well, because they start reading in the fine print. And they decided that they didn't want to be under the boot of tyranny as far as the federal government. It's how I personally am interpreting why they're giving this money back. I mean, think about that for a second. You get all this money. I mean, there's millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And all of a sudden you go, you know what? I just don't think I want to be that person who's got to comply with these rules. I mean, here's the article right here from Breitbart. It says, Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Let it boot up here for a second. It says, the owner of Ruth Chris Steakhouse said Thursday that it would repay the $20 million in coronavirus funds it received in early April. We intended to repay this loan in adherence with government guidelines, but as we learned more about the funding limitations, here we go, of the program and the unintended impact, we've decided to accelerate that repayment, Ruth Hospitality Group Chief Cheryl J. Henry said in a statement. Shake Shack gave back its funds intended to help small businesses maintain their payrolls after reports that some public companies had received the funds provoked a major backlash. Guys, yesterday we talked to a guy who has a door company, D-O-O-R, Door, and he basically has a big door company, one of the largest ones here in Central Florida, and he went and he got his loan, and he asked us, did you not get the loan? And we said, no, we didn't get the loan. We don't want to be subject. I told him, this is what I told him. I said, I don't want to be subject to a forensic audit. And I said, I do everything right. I pay all my bills. I pay all my taxes. But I don't want the expenses of this. You know, Catherine Austin Fitz got involved with the government. She got into a bunch of forensic audits. She ended up spending millions and millions of dollars in accounting fees just to get, you know, the government offer back. You think, well, that's crazy. Well, I'm not saying it's not crazy. I'm just telling you what happens. Do you want to be the subject of that? Well, you know, you borrowed this money from us in April of 2020, but now I need to look at these things that you bought back in, you know, 2001. I need to see the receipts for these things here because we don't really understand what this expenditure was for.
Yep.
Guys, that was 20 years ago. Oh, man, we know it was 20 years ago, but don't you realize that when you signed that dotted line on that loan, we've got the right to go on back and do a forensic audit on you, so good luck, boy. Yeah, that's where we are with this, guys. What do you get yourself into? Why do you want these people involved in your life? Because you want to have some payroll money? I hate to say this. You know, you may just have to cut back on some people and some things and some expenses with the company and bring them all back when things pick back up again. Instead of borrowing money from somebody who's going to have a forensic audit capability that you're going to sign off on to start with. You know, it's interesting. I like these memes. I'm going to give you some funny memes. There's some funny memes that I got, basically. Here's one. There's time traveling to the year 2020, and it's Star Trek, and it's Captain Kirk and basically Spock, and they go back to 2020 in a time travel machine, and 3 minutes later they come back out and says, nope, 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 bad idea, we're not going back to 2020. And 2020 turning into one of those years. Here's another one, another funny meme. It's like being 16 again. Gas is cheap, and I'm grounded. That's what we have right now. Gas is cheap, and we're grounded. Another one. 3 weeks of homeschooling my 7, 9, and 12-year-old went surprisingly well. They've all graduated high school, and we're now ready to move out and get jobs when the quarantine is over now that they're 7, 9, and 12. I had enough of this. And you know, it's so funny. You know, it's just, you know, you start seeing these memes, you start laughing about it. It goes, fact, in 4 weeks, 88% of the blondes will disappear from the earth, I guess, because they're not getting their hair colored anymore. And so it's just, you know, and here's another one. And just like that, having a mask, rubber gloves, duct tape, plastic sheeting, and rope in your trunk of your car is okay. But, you know, it's so funny to me when you start reading this. Like, turns out that my top three hobbies are eating out at restaurants, going to non-essential businesses, and touching my face. These are my three hobbies. And so you kind of look at these things and you just start laughing. And there's a really funny one that says, lockdown by the government is the only way to keep you safe. And then there's a picture of Jeffrey Epstein saying, really? So remember, he was locked down. And then the favorite one that's going to kind of sum all of this up, we've got the lady from the Hunger Games, that weirdo lady with all the makeup, with the white hair, who likes to tell everybody how wonderful it is that they can fight for the state and die. And it says, here's a picture of her saying, when your state chooses to open back up, here's what she says, may the odds be ever in your favor. Whoa. Do you guys get that? May the odds be forever in your favor. In other words, when you play to death, for the enjoyment of the crowds, when they've done this to you and they've locked you down in your cities, in your states, in your regions, in your FEMA regions, May the odds be ever in your favor as you fight to the death. Guys, is this where we're going? Are we going to feudal Hunger Games? Is this what we elected Donald Trump for? No, I don't think so. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Well, I mean, and one thing about it, and that's why I've mentioned that movie so many times with everything that it has in it and a lot of the subliminal messaging they have in it. And he even says that in the second one when he's talking to both of them. And the main character that is basically mentoring them after they had won. And he goes, you have to understand, he goes, you guys aren't here to change anything. You guys are here to be a distraction. You're here to keep them focused on you instead of being focused on the real problems that are going on. He says that movie. And that's exactly what we've seen now with all these celebrities and all these the music and ceremonies and the NFL and all the things that have stopped now. The one thing that's actually been interesting with this whole entire lockdown is a lot of the populace is starting to wake up because they're no longer being put to sleep with a little lullaby from the propaganda machine with the NFL and their little fixed games and all the other things that go on a regular basis. Everything stopped. Now, a lot of people, unfortunately, have turned to television and Netflix to try to maintain some level of normalcy bias, and so they just sit there and watch a bunch of perverted filth on Netflix all the time. That's why Netflix shares have gone up, and that part's saddening to me. But a lot of other people I've talked to, people are starting to wake up. They're doing research online. They're talking to other people. They're starting to go, hey, what's going on? And that's one of the reasons, my opinion, why I truly believe they are trying to do everything they can to prevent people from gathering together. Think about this for a second. You have the internet still wide open. You have communication still wide open. You have the openness of what's going on with a lot of people. They're starting to realize what's going on because there's many less distractions. You can't go out to eat a restaurant, can't go to a bar, can't go to a concert, can't go to an NFL game, can't do much of anything. So people are starting to wake up. Well, people started waking up and they started congregating together. We start having 20, 30, 40, 50 people meet up to say, hey, let's have a round table discussion here. Theoretically speaking, let's start bouncing some ideas. You know, we're all from all over the place, from all over the county. What do you think is going on? Let's have a little militia meeting here. Just talk about this. Throw some ideas on the table. Am I far fetched in thinking this? Am I real far field? Am I actually on point? People will start realizing real quick, even further, that we're not far fetched. We're all actually starting to think the same. And this is why they don't want people coming together. They don't want people congregating like they did up in Michigan. Start driving around. Start protesting what's going on. Like they did in California. The Florida Highway Patrol goes, oh, by the way, now, we're not going to issue you any permits any further to protest. Your protest permits have been revoked. So if you protest now, we're going to arrest everybody for peacefully protesting a redress of grievance against the United States because you don't have a permit to protest and you're breaking quarantine. That's a surprise in California. They're pretty much a communist state, let's be real. I mean, I know people in California. The state itself, the beauty, the country, I even like the aspect of how much they are against GMO foods and the pro-organic food out there. But that majority of the aspect of the governmental control of that state is it's nauseating to me. And that's what they want across the entire country. And so, again, you have to encourage everybody. Wake up to what's going on. Now what they've done is they're trying to crack down on everything. At the time when people need some decent credit more than ever, when time people actually need some financial support because the government has intentionally shut everything down, now major U.S. credit card issuers are beginning to lower customer spending limits as the pandemic shutdown leaves millions jobless and are struggling to keep up on payments. Remember what I told you guys yesterday? I said if Congress and, Senate and Trump were actually concerned about maintaining people's finances in the country, that little $1,200 abysmal failure of a stimulus package per person was a complete total joke. Even the business loans were a joke. They ran out within the first week. Oh, but of course, the other $1.5 billion, that hasn't run out yet. No, excuse me, that's not 1.5. I apologize. My numbers are off. The 1.5 trillion, those numbers, that's just gone to all the corps. It's gone to big mega banks, corporations. Oh, that's right. Remember, the cruise lines had to get bailed out. Remember, Trump comes out and goes, the cruise lines need a bailout. They're an essential business. And I'm paraphrasing this, even though he didn't say this. This is basically what he said under the table. Even though they're based out of Israel and they pay $0 in federal income tax and they support the actual infrastructure of the country very, very little, and they siphon most of the money offshores, and all the money goes to offshore bank accounts and their maritime law. They don't have to follow any law and order, no congressional laws. Oh, that's right, those cruise ships, we're going to give them a massive bailout because why? My Israeli banker friends run them, and they need their bailouts today. So we're going to give them hundreds of billions of dollars in bailouts to keep them all happy. That's right. That's where all the money went. So instead of actually helping the populace, they got $1,200. And so even if they said, you know what, $1,200 is enough, we're going to actually help the populace out a little bit more. We're going to do a full-blown interest freeze on all loans right now. All loans. Credit card loans, mortgage loans, we're going to freeze them. Even if we're not going to do 0% because the banks are going to pitch a fit, we're going to freeze them at all at 0.9% interest. That way, the banks are still getting a little bit of money. They're still getting their money in, but the American populace can actually pay down their mortgages and pay down their credit card bills a little bit more. No, 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 no. They're not going to do that. Now we have Synchrony Financial, the company behind all the credit cards for Amazon, JCPenney, Gap, American Eagle Outfitters. I mean, the list goes on with Synchrony Financial. They have now said Tuesday to try to stem losses by managing customer accounts. They're now going to use their credit reports and own data to dynamically reevaluate a customer's credit worthiness. That's what they said. Dynamically reevaluate. This means customers may be allowed to spend more, but others could see their credit limit slashed. And I can promise you, when he goes on to say some customers could be able to spend more, that's going to be probably about 1% of the people that have those credit cards, if that. The majority of them are going to have their credit limit slashed. Then you go have Discover. Discover said in a regulatory filing on Wednesday that they are easing off efforts to sign up any new customers now. And they also expect to take a hit from programs letting existing borrowers skip payments. They said, as the number of loans enrolled in these programs increases, our financial results are being adversely impacted in the short term. So they are basically looking as well, evaluating creditworthiness and lowering levels of limits on people's credit cards. Citi, Chase, and Capital One have not yet formally announced any reductions on credit limits, but most card policies allow those issuers to reduce credit limits at any time and for any reason. So I'm sure they will be following suit as well. Why? They don't want people filing Chapter 7. That's what a lot of people are going to do right now. And quite frankly, I don't blame people for doing that. If you've got a business that's coming completely under and your finances are completely under, let me give you a news flash. The best thing to do, and I'm not giving you any financial advice whatsoever, I'm telling you my personal opinion. If you're forced to file Chapter 7 because of this pandemic, I should say plandemic, and the government has forcibly shut your business down and your finances are complete and totally haywire, my opinion, what I would do, this is my opinion, I would get as many credit cards as I could physically get and max them out. And then I'd punch Chapter 7 because you're not going to have any income. You might as well live off credit cards for a while. And I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you what I would do. If you're at an all-time low and the government has given you no other option, I don't see any issue whatsoever filing Chapter 7 on all these unbelievably greedy banks. That's my opinion. Some people may argue with me on that. But I'm telling you right now, with these guys doing this and forcibly shutting down businesses, this is why they're doing this, guys. This is why they're low on credit limits. They know it's about to happen. They know everybody's about to come in and say, you know what? I'm not going to play the game anymore. Max out, max out, max out, max out. Or better yet, I shouldn't even be saying this, but I would consider maxing out credit cards with gold and silver. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not giving you any financial advice. But just a thought, if you're already going to file Chapter 7 and you're already going to have to deal with the recourse of the next 7 years of rebuilding everything back up, that's just my opinion. But that, what do I know about finances or money managing? I'm just giving you my basic opinion on what's going on, Deb.
You know, Austin, let me clarify a couple things real quick. You know, Carnival Cruise Lines was founded in 1972 by Ted Arneson, who was an Israeli immigrant. After serving World War II with the British Army in Israel's War of Independence, in the late 1940s, he founded a cargo line, and then basically he basically runs an Israeli-owned system. Basically, it's called Carnival Cruise Lines, which is the largest cruise line in the world. That's what Austin's talking about with that. Now, also remember, I don't know how much money, and neither does Austin, that these guys have been given directly through the bailouts. I have no idea. But what I do know is this: money is fungible. And if these international banking cartels are the true money behind the Carnival Cruise Lines, and they're the ones who are getting the primary bailouts as far as these giant corporations, money is fungible and it gets moved around. That's what we're talking about, now that we don't have any idea of how much money is actually going to the cruise lines directly on the show. I want to clarify that very, very closely. By the way, a couple of quick stories. Grocers are now hunting for meat as coronavirus hobbles the beef and pork plants. Guys, this is exactly what we told you. It's going to be about food. They're going to bring it down to food. U.S. factory orders plunge 14.4% as economy grinds to a halt. Basically, the data is in. Stop the total isolation. All these are posted on the Health Masters website. Here's some of the statistics from that. The overwhelming majority of people do not have any significant risk of dying from COVID-19, which is a fact. Fact two, protecting older at-risk people eliminates hospital overcrowding. Fact three, vital population immunity is prevented by total isolation policies prolonging the problem. That's a fact. People are dying because other medical care is not getting done due to hypothetical projections. This is a fact. And we have clearly defined population at risk who can be protected with targeted measures. That's a fact. Shutting down the entire country is not necessary. Trump is now suggesting that we use disinfectants to help kill the people. Well, a little Freudian slip, disinfectants to be injected inside of people. Now, if he was trying to refer to, you know, vitamin C intravenously as a disinfectant, he's absolutely wrong. If he's referring to bleach or something, other type of disinfectant, I mean, I don't know what to say. It says Trump suggests injecting disinfectants to kill coronavirus in bizarre, rambling tangent. So I just don't understand what's going on with this guy and why in the world this stuff is happening over and over again, as we have no coherent national plan for fighting coronavirus. All they can do is lock down the country and pretend like that's something that's going to be okay. Now, I really, really, really like the governor that we have. I believe her name is Noem. She goes, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. South Dakota governor defends rejecting coronavirus lockdown. I like this lady. She is really, really, really sharp, and she basically has a lot of good points, and she has refused to lock down South Dakota. It says this is the future of successful coronavirus response: mass testing at work, in church, and self-administered tests. Do you hear what they're pushing now? They're pushing that you get tested in church. The future of successful coronavirus response: mass testing at work and in church. Let people say, yes, Master. Yes, Master. Pastor says I need to do this, Master. No. And in church, and self-administered tests. Guys, no. This is where it's going. And this goes right back to that article that I read from Chuck Baldwin at the beginning of this show, in which I said, why in the world has this happened? Well, the only reason it could have happened, guys, is because they have completely compromised the evangelicals' view of their pastoral leadership. A televangelist. Now, this is another article from KansasCity.com. Jim Baker. It says televangelist Jim Baker, who sold fake COVID-19 cure, is asking viewers for cash to avoid bankruptcy. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, he's promoting the fact that you can take colloidal silver to cure coronavirus, which is not even true. I told you guys that wasn't true to start with. He's the same guy with PTL, the same guy who went to prison for fraud, and now apparently they shut down his merchant account. The banks did. Surprise, surprise. Whenever they don't like what you're doing, they shut your merchant account down. And here's the irony. Now he's begging his people to send in cash, send in checks to keep himself going as far as promoting and marketing product. Guys, I trust Jim Baker about as much as I could throw a 300-pound gorilla across the room with one hand. That's about as much as I trust him. And guys, this is the problem. We get ourselves caught up in figures that we think are going to be, how should I say, leaders for us. And we give these people like Donald Trump or Jim Baker or other TV evangelists that we know, and you can pick a Hollywood star, you can pick Madonna, you can pick anybody that people just follow around and worship. We think that they have the answers and that we want to emulate and be like them. Guys, that's no good. We can't. Jesus Christ is the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. The only person that we need to want to emulate is Jesus Christ himself, to become more Christ-like, to be continually renewed by the Holy Spirit. Not these TV evangelists, not the local pastors that want you to take coronavirus testing, not the local pastors who tell you to take the injection, to take the vaccine. We don't emulate people like that. We have to follow what the Word of God says. We have to be in season and out of season the same. We've got to be consistent with the way we act. And we've got to remember that it is Jesus Christ himself, Christ crucified, that you were bought at a price, that we need to follow. And forget the rest of these clowns. Just forget them. You know, you can listen to them a little bit if you like them, or if they have a guest on that you like. But don't get to a point where you got to go, oh, I've got to give them money. I got to send them money right now. Oh! No. Don't do that. Don't allow yourself to do that. Now, if you want to donate to a good cause, here's what I always tell you to do. If you feel you want to give money to a person who comes in and speaks to you at a church, and the guy's a good speaker, all right? And you want to give him, let's say you want to give him $100 or nothing. If you have really a lot of money, you want to give him $1,000, say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to wait for a week and see if I still feel led by the Holy Spirit to do this. And if I am, and if I do, I'll send him a check. But I'm not going to do it on the spot, because a lot of these guys are trained orators, and they're trained to elicit a response from you. Oh, I could go into a whole show with this, guys. Wait a week. If the Holy Spirit still convicts you to do it, then you do it. Guys, I love you. On Hagman tonight, or Austin will be on Hagman tonight, I love you guys. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity, the privilege, and the responsibility to again pray for you today. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being part of my family. I love you guys. Austin, finish it up.
Absolutely. And one thing Dad said a second ago about the article that's been circling now, Market Watch and a bunch of other things, as they're saying now, the success of fighting the coronavirus is mass testing at work and church. Remember, they do a nasal swab with the COVID-19 testing, meaning they get a DNA sample. Where they get your name, they get your information so they can find out where you are, who you are, if you test positive. But also remember, they've been fighting for years to try to get everybody's DNA for some weird, odd, sick reason. As we've seen now with 23andMe and all the other different, you know, DNA testing centers about your heritage and ancestry, they've used that information. They've sold it to pharmaceutical companies for DNA-specific drugs. Always remember that. So remember this whole COVID-19 thing with this whole, we're going to test you before you can go to work and test you before you can go to church. Be very, very leery of that, especially if you're really healthy and you're taking your vitamin C and D3 and you feel great and you're being smart and using wise sanitation habits. Be very, very careful about people coming up to you and telling you they're going to test you for free for COVID-19. That's just my 2 cents. I appreciate you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. I'll talk to you on Hagman. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Stay prepared. Work out, exercise, eat clean. I'll talk to you again Monday as always.